Am I on? Can you hear me? I wouldn't say I'm the hardest worker here, but I've seen some guys work pretty hard, which is awesome when you have people come to the house of God and do some work. Amen? Well, it's been an honor. I just want you to stand up, get your Bible, and say, "This is my Bible. It's the living Word of God. I believe it on purpose, and it's God speaking to me." Amen. As I say, it's always an honor when Pastor asks me to share. He's, as Miss Anita said, he's at a hockey game, as you can see on my Facebook. I'm one of those guys, you know, a pastor mentioned a few weeks ago that sometimes, you know, ministers will use sports analogies. I'm one of those guys, I'm like, I don't get it. I don't watch sports, so. But I thank God that people can bless Pastor with, you know, tickets and sports and anybody. I'm not against sports. It's not like I've had people at work ask me, "Is it because you're a Christian you don't watch sports?" I was like, "Yes." No, I'm only kidding. I just don't have, as you can tell, I have no interest in sports, but praise God. We're just going to get into the Word. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that we can come into your presence. Father, we thank you, Lord, that as Pastor's been teaching, that we do hear from you. We thank you, Lord, that you want to lead us and that we can follow, that we can hear your voice, and that you speak words of life to us. We just thank you that as we are led by you, we will walk into freedom that you have. We will walk in peace that you have. We will walk in the provision that you have and the destiny and the purpose that you have for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I was talking to Pastor during the week when he mentioned it. He said about, because he's been teaching on being led by the Spirit. So that doesn't mean I come up here after telling him, "Well, yeah, I can do that. And now I'm going to talk on the four horsemen of the apocalypse." Because that doesn't honor our man of God, amen? That doesn't mean, "Well, I feel led, I'm going to do that." And you go totally off the wall. That doesn't honor. Like, you can be led, but part of that is that you have to honor the man of God in the house. Amen? So you don't, you know, it's like saying to my wife, "Well, I'm going to be home at 2. Then I come home, "Well, I felt led to stay out to 4. Unless it's something that you really know it was God speaking to you, you know, God doesn't lead you to bring, disunity in a house. Amen? So we're just going to share a little bit. So I want to welcome those online. I'm not shy about being up here on Sundays, but this is the first time I actually ever got to minister on Sundays, so I can tick that off. Preaching the gospel around the world, because we're online, off my bucket list. Amen. I said to my wife, you know. But amen. So we're just going to look at it a little bit. So I'm going to go through that, what Pastor's been talking about. His main scripture has been Romans 8, 14, and 16. And so I'm just going to do a little bit of review and get into something. Romans 8. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." And the 16, "For the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." And then Proverbs 20:27 is that the Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. He lightens our inward parts. You know, I do believe, honestly believe that we can hear from God. I think it's 1 Corinthians 12:2. Paul says to the church in Corinth, "Don't be led by dumb idols." He doesn't mean dumb as in stupid. He means dumb as in the actual meaning of dumb is mute, quiet. He says, "Don't be led by dumb or silent idols," which means that we are to be led by a speaking God. Amen? We are to be led by a God who wants to speak to us. Doesn't mean I hear of an audible voice every time. Okay? That's not what it means. If you read when Paul... Every time Paul heard an audible voice, it was when he was going into a place of that was going to be that he was going to need extra strength. God didn't speak to him audibly every moment of every day, but we have, like the Word says, we have an inner witness on our inner man. I have heard the audible voice of God speaking to me, and it was a thing where I was going into a situation not to be troubled, but that I needed like an extra strength. I needed to almost be confirmed that he was speaking to me. But, you know, I didn't hear an audible voice saying, "You're going to marry Kathy." It wasn't an audible voice. It was an inner manifestation. It was an inner speaking of my spirit. Amen? You know, as we were sitting there during worship, I was thinking about this because, as we know, as Pastor talked about, that the Spirit will lead us. He leads us through our spirit or inner man. And God is seeking to lead us. He is seeking to lead you. He wants the best for us. You know, so during worship, I'm thinking because... If you are led, you are the children of God. I have a son that I don't, like, my son doesn't phone me every day, "Dad, what kind of cereal should I have? Dad, what kind of, you know?" So God does, you know, I don't pray, "Lord, do I buy Cheerios this week? Lord, do I buy Frosted Flakes? You know, we don't have to get all weird, you know. God just speaks to us. He will lead us and guide us. He's a gentleman. I love the fact that he says he will lead us. He doesn't push us along. He's a gentleman. God will never force you to do anything, ever. He's a gentleman. So if you hear an inner witness about something, and he says, I want you to go this way, and you go that way, he'll let you go. It's your free will. He will let us go. It's usually when we get in trouble that we can look back and think, oh yeah, God was speaking to me. And that's why I like the fact that we've been learning, because as one of my points we'll get into, learning how to be led is a process. It's learning how we hear from God is a process. It doesn't happen all overnight. It doesn't happen that we get born again and bing, you know, we hear. Like I said, my son, I might suggest things to him. I can't twist his arm and make him, well, I can, but that's not leading him, right? If you look at, you know, the shepherds in the Middle East, and especially through Israel, and you always see pictures, and even now, they walk. And the sheep follow. You see pictures of, you know, shepherds, I think in Australia, the sheep are that way, and the shepherd's behind them, and he's making noises. He's not beating them, but he's making noises to push them along. Isn't that funny that in Israel, the shepherd walks first? Jesus says, my sheep will hear my voice. Problem is, we got to learn how to distinguish his voice, amen. We got to learn that fact that, like I can say to Josh, I don't think you should buy that guitar. I think you should buy this guitar. And it doesn't mean he's going to listen to me. He can buy that guitar. Doesn't mean it's, you know what I mean? It's sometimes listening to God is that simple. Sometimes I've heard people that, you know, they say, well, I hear God and God speaks to me audibly every day, and it's like, okay, like you can get a little bit weird, and I don't want to go down that road. Pastor doesn't, you know, I've never heard pastor say God speaks to him audibly every day. He'll speak to him, I think, more profoundly because he's leading us, amen. So he'll get a different revelation from God, and not different in different, but I think it's because he's got more responsibility, put it that way, as we go. But you know, one of the things, the biggest thing is the Spirit of God will never lead us outside his word. Amen? Yeah. Whenever you're speaking to somebody and they say, I think God told me to do this. And you say, well, the word says this. And they go, yeah, but then God's not speaking to you. Sorry, man, you're on your own. Because pet peeve I have, as some of you know, is when guys, because I've had roommates, we were all saved, we're all born again. And one guy's, I remember dating this, and I was a new believer, I didn't understand it, but this one guy's dating a girl, and one of the other roommates, she's not saved. Yeah, but, Doug looked at him and said, the Bible says not to be unequally yoked. So God will never lead you outside his word, amen? This is the standard. The word says that this is the plumb line. Plumb line is a weight, usually of lead, that hangs, and it stays straight and true. This is our plumb line. Every time you hear the word of God speak, either audibly or prophetically or through the inner witness, it will never go outside of this. Amen? Ever. I don't care if I say something to you and it's outside of this. Tell my wife so she can give me a smack. I'm telling you. So as we go through, I'm going to give some examples of my own life and how we got led, how me and my wife got led, how he leads us. Because, you know, there are some things that, you know, I've made mistakes. I'm afraid to admit I made a mistake. I was going to tease my wife, say I made a mistake yesterday. We were sitting at the table of the wedding, and I was the only one that didn't have the blue shirt on. So, John, you can tell Caleb, I have a blue shirt. So, you know, so I was like, well, maybe we're the only ones that heard God, honey. The other guys didn't. Because all the girls actually all had blue as well, except my wife. So we were the ones, like, standing out. Like, so we were going against the flow. But so anyway, let's get into his word. It says that, you know, I saw this quote, and I liked it. I'm not sure who did it, but it's just simple. How do we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit? The first thing we do is acknowledge that he is present inside of us, and he wants to guide us through life. One of the most important things we can do to acknowledge his leadership is to refuse to allow situations to move us. As believers, we have the ability to bypass natural process and tap into the supernatural. The Holy Spirit teaches us how to remain victorious in the natural realm. Sometimes the hardest thing is learning to move or to be led by the inward man, because we are so accustomed to being moved by the outside circumstances, by what the market says, by what the economy says, by what our body says. It's so hard, like Pastor said, I think it was last week or the week before, he said, we have to learn how to quiet the outside noise. We have to learn how to still the outside so we hear the inside. Amen? So we have to learn how, like I said, how to distinguish his voice. So I'm just going to look at a couple of things, and then we'll go talk about the four horsemen again. No, it's, you know, because there are things that the Spirit of God wants to lead us, and he will teach us and learn and guide us, like the Word says, that we grow up as a natural, that we start as babies, then we start as, we grow into to mature men. And we have to be mature, amen. It's not about, well, I've been saved 20 years, and so I'm matured. It's not about that. I've met people that have been saved, you know, 5 years and are very mature in the Lord, and I've been saved, you know, 25 years myself. And I've met other guys that are, like I said, been saved 5 years. It's like, man, the outstanding Word, because it's all a choice, a choice that we make. If we decide, we decide how fast we want to grow. We decide how we want to listen to God. We decide if we want to acknowledge it. If you can read a stop sign that says stop and stop your car, you can follow this. Amen? Yeah. Amen? It's that simple. You know, it's like they say a baby, you should talk to a baby recognizes its mother's voice because when she speaks, it hears it inside the womb. And that's why if you're a dad and your wife's pregnant, speak to the baby so he gets to understand your voice. So he doesn't have to learn outside the womb. Amen? He can understand your voice. It's like us. We have to learn how to hear the Spirit of God. So I'm going to look at the fact that my first point actually was, I was going to say was that being led will bring freedom, but then I changed it to prerogative. It's a synonym, but prerogative means there's a special thing. Like a woman's prerogative is because she's a woman. But prerogative actually, I have it here. The Webster says, it's an exclusive right or privilege exercised by virtue of rank, office, or like. And I like it because he says, if you are led, you are the children of God. And there's freedom. That's our prerogative to be led by our Father. Amen. It's our prerogative that we have a special ability to hear from the Father of heaven. We have the special ability to hear from the Creator of the universe. We have the special ability to hear from Him who is almighty, wants to speak to us individually. Amen. That is our prerogative. And the other reason I like that is because it's a P word. Because my other two points are P's. So, you know, Pastor was talking about God's garden, so you can say we were in the pea patch today. We're all good to go. I'm not one to usually follow, like, you know, I see some guys, they preach, and they have all their points start with the same letter, and it just happened to work out that way. So I put it that way, but it was really good. But anyway, one of the things is, as his children, being led will bring us, it will bring us freedom. For the flesh, in Galatians 5, 17, 18, it says, for the flesh sets its desires against the spirit, small s, is how it should be, it's our spirit, and the spirit, small s, against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So what he's saying is the fact that as children of God, we have a privilege, a prerogative. I don't have to, every time I do something wrong, cut a turtle dove, come and sprinkle the blood. I don't have to follow a list of rules and regulations. I don't have to follow the Ten Commandments. We don't have to do these things. We should. Ten Commandments are great principles. They are things, because there's only one commandment, to love your neighbor and to love God. The two greatest commandments. On these hang the law and the prophets. But we have a prerogative. We have freedom. What's nice about that is because I'm a child of God, that if he speaks to me and I miss it, oh well, I repent. Oh, it's that simple. Sometimes there's a consequence. Like if you marry the wrong person, there's going to be a consequence. You can't just, oh, well, but, you know, you can bring everything. You still bring your father. When Josh, you know, when he's grown up and he'll ask me something and I tell him something, if he doesn't do it, it's his choice. But if he makes a mistake, like when I'm teaching him how to do things, like when he was younger and he's like, Dad, can I help you, you know, paint the garage? Sure. Who cares if he gets paint all over the grass? Cut the grass, it'll grow again. Sometimes it's better to spend time, let him make a few mistakes, but then he's learning something, amen? If your kids are doing something, like I'm not going to let him paint my car kind of thing, because he doesn't know how to do paint a car, but he wants to paint the garage or he wants to paint something, who cares if they make a mess? Really? I saw pictures, you know, Pastor Steve had pictures the other day, and he's got Benny working. It's awesome. So what if he knocks a thing of nails over? Really? Who cares? It's not a big deal. Teach them when they're small. I like to learn things. so that God will teach me little things. So if I hear, I'll use an example, actually, which is Gloria Copeland's. She was talking about something, and she was learning, and she heard an inner speaking. Your car light is on, like inside the car. It's like, oh. So she went, and the car light was on. She goes, you learned something small, because if she's ignored it, what's the worst that should happen? Somebody's got to boost her car because the battery's dead. It's better than learning on a big thing. And we've done that, me and my wife. Like I said, you know, we were going along, and we went to an open house. We walked through this house, and we both got in the car, and both at the same time. Didn't hear an audible voice, so I think we should buy it. Well, it's kind of strange. Well, God will lead you in all things. He'll lead you into a purpose and a destiny, amen. He will lead you about little things. He cares about the little things. But this was a fact that, you know, we came together. Before that, we had a sensing that's related. I think I've shared this before. We had a sensing. We were in Duluth. We were watching TV, and Mike Murdoch was on, and he was talking about a $1,000 offering, and so we were like, yes! But not where he was going, and I'm like, I could sense. Spirit of life. Just came out of my spirit. I didn't hear an audible voice, Spirit of life. My wife looks at me, she goes, I think we should do it to Spirit of life. I think you love it when God puts a husband and wife together that you can both hear the same thing. I think it's so amazing, you know. Me and my wife don't have a fight and argue about giving things. And so then we came to pastor, he said, we want to do this, and he prayed with us. And then we bought this house. I believe that was casting our bread upon the water, and in many days you will see the harvest. So now we have a harvest so that when I want to retire in 4 years, I'm going to have a harvest because the equity of the house has gone up, the mortgage has gone down, we're making money now, we're putting money aside in our savings, so now I have a harvest, amen? So I can't believe it, like I said. Last week I came up, I was doing an offering, and I didn't just speak it out unknowingly. I had talked to my wife before that. Pastor was talking about the TriCaster, and I got a sense that we should do an offering. And I looked at my wife and said, we should do an offering. And I heard the amount, but I don't want to say it to her. Sometimes if you're not sure, write it down. We both write down two numbers. Then you know if God's speaking to you. That way, if you got $200 and she's got $5, okay, well, one of us is missing it. But there's not be a fight. Nobody know. It's all part of it, right? That's what God leads you in these little things. So I said to her, I said, I think we should do Spirit of Life. She said, yeah. And I had the number in my spirit. And I said, and she looked at me, she goes, $1,000. I'm like, okay, that's why I come up here and say $1,000. I didn't do it. My wife's like, what? She knew. We had talked about it beforehand. And I don't do it to brag on how big it is. I just did it because pastor needs to know that he said, you know, he said he had mentioned to Pastor Steve about ordering some stuff. So now he knows money's coming in because it helps release his spirit as well, right? You know, so it's like, okay, Pastor, we can help you with that $1,000. And it's like, it was exciting because he was speaking to both of us. Amen. So I'm thinking, if I was thinking like 200, my wife said 1,000, I'm like, okay, one of us is missing it. And knowing, because I know I married somebody who's a giver, it's probably me. My wife, you know, I've had people ask me, you'll give yourself poor. I believe in sowing and reaping. I can't give myself poor. I can give away my bread because he gives seed to the sower and bread for eating, because I've had people give us stuff and the Lord has had to speak to me and say, that is bread, so won't you enjoy that? It's like, okay, you know. Then I've had things, you know, I've had people give me stuff and I've started eating it and the Lord's like, that's your seed. Oh, okay, you know. So, but the thing is, it says in Romans that we don't have to follow a set of rules and regulations, that we are free. Josh doesn't come to my house, or Paul doesn't come to our house. He doesn't come to our house, Mom, can I have the apple juice? He doesn't have to follow the rules and regulations. He comes in, he's got his kids. You know, Jacob's like, Dad, I'm thirsty. Well, it was the apple juice. He doesn't have to say, well, go ask grandma. He's just, okay, the apple juice is in the fridge. Go have the apple juice. He's at our house. He doesn't have to follow rules and regulations. Amen? You know, you teach your kids to be respectful, but you understand what I'm getting at? I don't have to come in rules and regulations. Okay, if I want to hear from God, I got to dress and put my purple pants on, and I got to put my hat on, and I got to come in the west door. I don't have to do that. Well, you don't have to follow rules and regulations. And what's so nice about that is when I miss God and he says, take, you know, I think he says, take a right here, and I take a right, and also I'm in a construction zone. Because it's little things. Sometimes it is the little things, like going to work, and God will say, go down this road, because it's different. And I'm like, I'm just going to go this way. I suddenly hit a train. It's like, okay, Lord, sorry, forgive me. Simple. free me, Lord. Then miraculously, I'm still not late for work. You know, I'm one of those guys, I live really close to work, so I leave at the last minute, you know, which is not good. I've never been late, though, so praise God. But, you know, you don't have to follow rules and regulations. But on a side note from that, doesn't mean that if we're visiting and I'm in a Baptist church, I'm going to stand up and start speaking in tongues. Because you don't disrupt the house, amen? God is a God of order. You got to find balance. That doesn't mean you sit here and you come in somewhere and go to somebody. I don't go to John's house and say, well, I don't like your couch over there, and I start rearranging his furniture, okay? I don't rearrange my own furniture. That's her job, you know? But you know what I mean? There's not rules and regulations, but you understand that you don't go to somebody's house and start doing things. You know, I don't sit there and sometimes, you know, we've been at a service where somebody gave a prophetic word, and between you and me, I think the interpretation was wrong. I didn't bring correction. It wasn't my place. I was a guest. I thought the word was okay, but I think the interpretation was wrong, and I was just like, in my spirit, just okay. Only because I know that I knew the Old Testament scripture. And you know what? People were mistaken. It didn't affect them anyway. It didn't affect the church. It didn't affect anything in a major thing. I just kept quiet. It wasn't my place to bring correction. So we got to realize that he is a God of order. But we don't have to say, if I can only sit in this chair to be blessed, amen, it's freedom. So when you're going along, God will speak to you. It's your prerogative. It's your freedom to hear from God. We get to hear from God, which is amazing. But we have the point that, you know, like Adam spoke, it says that God spoke to him, and he still missed it. And he spoke to him. You know, one of these things I'm going to look at, because I always like, you know, as everybody knows, I always like to go to the Old Testament. In 2 Samuel 6:12, I'm not going to read the whole story. I'm just going to read this. I asked my wife if I could use one of her examples, because, you know, that's what married men do. 2 Samuel, what did I say? 6, I think I said, right? 2 Samuel 6. This is a story. I love this story. I've referred to this story a lot last few times. When David's bringing the Ark of God into the Ark of God, and he's bringing it back into the city, and he's dancing. I love the fact that he says that he's dancing. He's the king, and he's dancing. And he's jumping around, and he's dancing. He's having a good old time. They're stopping. They do a sacrifice every 6 feet or 12 paces or whatever it is. Then he dances, and he's dancing. And he's got, you know, it says that he's wearing an ephod. And he's got it on, and he's dancing. His wife, Micah, is up looking down, despising him, says, despising him in her heart. She's used to rules and regulations. You got to remember, Micah grew up in a king's house. She was a princess. She was Saul's daughter. So she grew up knowing a king doesn't act like this. She grew up knowing that he should not be doing that. She grew up thinking, I shouldn't say knowing, but thinking in her eyes, rules and regulations, a king does not act like this. It says that she despised him in her heart. They were not like-minded in that aspect. What I like about that is there was about 2 months ago or something like that, we were here, and you know me, Wednesday night, having a good time, I started doing a little dance. I was doing a little dance. I told Pastor Kid one time, I said, it never happens when I preach. I never get, you know, like that when I preach, till afterwards or whatever, which is okay. So anyway, I'm doing a little dance. And then we were over here, and Pastor's ministering, and he's flowing. And he comes over, and the same thing happened again. Now, what has this got to do with being led by the Spirit? Pastor had, earlier that night had said, if you will not listen to me as your man, you'll have a hard time listening, or as your shepherd, you'll have a hard time listening to God. He said that. Anybody remember when he said that? He said that. So I'm over there dancing and having a good time, and Pastor looked over, because I found this out afterwards, looked at Kathy and said, Kathy, dance, and walked away. And she had a choice. She's like, no, I don't want to do that. Because she said, no, I don't want to do that. And I asked her with permission. The Lord spoke to her in her witness. You can't hear your man, your pastor, you'll have a hard time hearing me. So she started dancing in the flesh. She started dancing. And then she started dancing in the spirit. She stepped out. It's a simple little thing, but it brought freedom, but also brought the fact that when I go home, I'm not like David, where I'm doing this, and my wife is like, you shouldn't have been doing that in church. If you notice, the Bible says afterwards, in the last verse in that chapter, he says that Micah was barren from that moment on. Doesn't mean I used to think it meant they didn't have any kids. It doesn't mean that. That literally means in Hebrew that David was no more intimate with her. The intimacy stopped. It affected their relationship because she disdained him in her heart. I always thought it meant, oh, they were still having relations and that she wasn't pregnant. It doesn't mean that. It means that David no more had intimacy with her because he was more in tune with having intimacy with his God. Amen. I know that what I like the fact is when God spoke to me about marrying her, it was a big thing. And it's funny because my next point is that it's a process, which I've shared a little bit about. We have to learn how to hear the Spirit of God. Like I say, learn little things like, is your light on? Learn little things about going around the train track. Learn little things because when I met her, I heard, choose your wife. Okay, we were out. Kind of strange because, you know, it wasn't the day we met. I think it was a couple days later. We met at church. Yeah. Outside having a smoke. We were at a church function on a Saturday or something, and I was having a smoke. And she came over, and I thought, she looks good. She had a pair of shorts on, T-shirt, and she looked good. Anyway, and then we went out for coffee, and the Lord spoke to me. It was a couple days later. She's your wife. So I'm like, all right. It was like 3 years later we got married. It's a process. Because sometimes you're like, because what it is you thought, okay, I heard God. So I was like, will you marry me? This is later on after we got to know each other a little bit. Will you marry me? She said yes, and she broke up with me. I can't, you know, we just got to be friends. I'm like, okay. So then we were just friends for like a week and a half. Then we thought, okay, maybe we'll be more than that. Will you marry me? Yes. Don't talk to me anymore. Go away. So I'm thinking, and it was, it's a process. I'm thinking, okay, did I miss God somewhere? Did I miss God? Because I was still fairly new. Like, did I miss God? And that's it. Did I miss God? Maybe I didn't hear him, which is okay. At that time, I'm thinking, it's not a big deal. Lots of fish in the sea. I was like still fairly newly saved. You know, then it got to the point that I ended up going to another church for a year and a half. And I go on a date with this girl who I met in church. Go on this date. No, actually, sorry, I didn't. Anyway, it doesn't matter. That's what I think. But the thing is, I went on this date, and my mom says to me, I hadn't spoken to her like a year. My mom says to me, who was saved, not that she spoke prophetically, maybe she did. She's like, what about Kathy? I looked at her, I'm like, Mom, I haven't seen her in a year. She doesn't even talk to me, don't even go to the same church. My mom was like, but what about Kathy? All of a sudden, I heard something from the inside. She's your wife. I don't even know where she lives anymore. Nothing. So anyway, I went back because of situations. I ended up going back to this church. Now, that's where I heard the audible sound of God, the audible voice of God. Because I left the church out of offense because of Cassie. Because the pastor said to me, not because of her, because I took an offense. The pastor says to me, calls me in the office. Because at this time, I had been separated for 2 years. But I was still legally married. He says, as a believer, you can't do that. You're still a married man. I'm still thinking naturally, like people in the world. I've been separated for 2 years. Who cares, right? He's like, you can't. You're married. So I left the church. Started going to another church. And then, you know, a year and a half after this, I got my divorce. Divorce came through. And, you know, like I say, life after divorce. Here we believe that you can be divorced and still minister. Amen. God doesn't look at you as secondhand people. He doesn't look at you. You know, God doesn't like divorce, but there is always renewal and refreshment and repentance in him. Amen. Amen. So we're sitting there, and that's where I was praying because I didn't know where to go to church now because I was going to a church that doesn't agree with divorce. And I liked the pastor, and we had a chat. And he goes, you can't minister, can't be a Sunday school teacher, can't be an usher, you can't be. So I stepped down from everything. And so I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, where do I go? And I physically felt an arm embrace me. And I heard audibly, go back to the altar. I'm like, go back. And it was an audible voice. Physical embrace, go back to the altar. Well, to me, the building on Grosvenor is where I got, my grandmother took me to be healed when I was 2. I got saved there. I got baptized there. So I go back. So I went back to church. Not because of her, but I went back to church because God told me to go back to church. So I'm sitting there, broke in the middle of the service. The pastor's preaching, just broke, weeping. stuff like that. And he's greeting people at the door, and I'm going out, and he says to me, he goes, "You're here for a visit, Dave? It's all good. If you're here to come back, we need to talk." So I said, "Well, Pastor, I guess we need to talk." And, you know, and it can be hard because I'm, like, all over the place. But it goes, originally, it goes back to 2 years before that, she's your wife. Well, at this point, it still doesn't look like it, right? Doesn't look like it. So we had a chat. About 6 months later, I said to the pastors, "We want to start a date, like, we want a date, whatever." And he's like, "You don't have to tell me. Who cares?" At this point, he had to make sure I wasn't going back because of her. At this point, he'd already known that, so it was all good. Next time, for the next big event, was about 2 years after that, but moving up here. God spoke to us about moving up here. We didn't hear an audible voice, which is a good thing, because that means it wasn't as hard. Because it's when you go through a hard place, God speaks to Paul audibly. When you go, because what did he say to Timothy? War, good warfare with the words that are spoken over you. Which means when you have a word, be prepared for a fight. Amen? But it's a fight of faith. Amen? It's fight, the good fight of faith. So it's when we come up here. I come up here, and I was reading. And I think it's in Proverbs where it says, promotion does not come from the east or the west or the south. It comes from God. And I said to Kathy, he said, God is north. This is how he speaks to me, okay? He will sound like you when he speaks to you, amen? Because he speaks from your inner man. So he will not sound like me when he speaks to you. He will sound like you when he speaks to you. I never understood that, but when he talks to T.D. Jakes, he sounds like a guy from Alabama, because T.D. Jakes is from Alabama, right? When he talks to Joel Osteen, he's going to sound like a guy from Texas. He will speak to you. He's going to speak your language, amen, from your inner man. So this is how he spoke to me. So we came up here, and I said, we're supposed to come up here. We come up here for a visit. I came to church with somebody. Pastor's preaching on a Wednesday night. He looks at my friend. He goes, "Brent, come here and bring your friend with you." So pastor prayed for me. I went home because she had stayed with some family. I went home. I said, honey, because we knew about the church. Because a friend of mine said, there's a Rhema church up there. And I don't know anything about pastor missing anything. Nothing. All I know is it was a Rhema church. I liked the Rhema word. So we came up here. I came home. I said, "Honey, I could call that place home." That's how God spoke to me. It was that simple. Go north, and there's home, basically. It's an inner witness. Now, like as you all know, I came up here for 2 years. Some things happened. I went back. We went back. I got called back to work. Went back to work. I remember telling the pastor, "I'm going back to London." He looked at me and says, "Because you haven't got the faith to stay." It was a word from God, and I ignored it. I went back. We went back. I had a good job. And I've said people, when I come up the second time, people say, "How did God speak to you?" It wasn't that. It's because he'd already spoken to me 4 years before that about coming here. I just felt a spiritual frustration. It's the only way I can put it. Financially, everything was going good. We were having a good time at the church where we were at, but we knew we had missed God. There was like, as he said, washing your feet with the socks on. There was like a rubbing inside us. Every once in a while, there'd be a rubbing on the inside of us. And it's like, okay, we missed God. We got to go back. This time, it was like, I wish there would have been an audible voice preparing me. Hallelujah. It's like we got to the point that we quit our job, came up here, no buffer. We jumped off the cliff, man. I tell you, we jumped off the cliff. Come up here with no job. Come up here with no prospect of a job. Come up here with nothing. No unemployment. You quit your job, you can't get unemployment. Nothing. And we come up here, first weekend, we went for a drive, so I'm going to work at Bombardier. God spoke to me. I knew that. It was 5 years later, I'm like, okay, did I miss it? Because there are times when I'm thinking, did I miss it? Sometimes you'll listen, you know, God will speak to you. And I didn't have, sometimes there are times when I wish I would come to church, not now, but back then, and Pastor or, you know, Pastor Rick or Brother Mark or somebody would say, "Dave, thus saith the Lord, it's going to be okay." Because you ask my wife, there are times I was like, I was frustrated. I was like, "Oh, okay, God," but I knew it was him. I knew he had told us to come here. Because everything can be going good at home. Everything can be going excellent at home. Everything can be going good at church. And you can still get the point that I'm not able at this point feel like I'm providing for my wife as I should be. I'm not able, like I feel, to be able to do things I want to do. Now, we still had, God looked after supernaturally, and I've shared that. God has done an amazing thing in our life. We walk in the promises of God. But you read Paul, he didn't always have a wonderful, beautiful day. Shipwrecked, beaten, but he never told anybody how disgruntled he was. He always said, through that, I have the victory. Amen. Because there are times we have to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. When you know you have a word from God, and I don't necessarily mean, thus saith the Lord, but you know you have a word from God. God spoke to you through his word. You're reading and you're praying, and also you hear the voice of God speak to you on the inside. That's as much of a fight, amen, as when God says, thus saith the Lord through a man. Amen. That's the point when you know that you have peace. Because being led will give you peace in a situation. Being led will bring you to a point that because I know that my prerogative as a child, I get to hear from him. I also know that it's a process that I'm learning. After 25 years of being saved, I now know the sound of his voice. I now know that when he tells me to do something, and I've told people, God tells me to quit my job, pack up and leave and go, no problem. Been there, done that. I can quit my job tomorrow because I know God will look after me. I know God will provide for me. I know God will look after my needs. I know God will look after my family, because that's the other part of it. You know, God tells you to go somewhere and move away. You think when Brother Mark goes to Africa for like 2 or 3 weeks at a time, he's got to know that God will look after his family back home, amen? He's got to know that he's got a calling of God on his life. He knows that God will look after him. When we moved, I knew that God, this time, my son didn't come with us, I knew God's going to look, God has hand on him. God is going to look after him, protect him, because I'm a child of God, amen? I know that I heard God speak to me to come here, you know? So, if you come to the point that you know and you have an inner witness, that you know, and you know, and you know, and you know if I'm talking to you, you got an inner witness that this is your church, we don't talk bad about the pastor in our house, amen? Amen. He's a man. He might say something, I'm like, what? I don't mean spiritually, because he's a man. We laugh, we have a good time. We don't sit there. We don't question the fact that, you know, he's, well, I'm going to teach on whatever it is. I don't sit there and think, oh, I heard that before. You know, like he's, I think it was Doug, one of the guys from Rhema said, you know, Kenneth Hagin will get you past being, repetition. How many times do you have to hear the two times table before you got it, right? I love it, because every time I heard, like I said, I've heard pastor teach on ABCs of faith probably 8 times, but you get something new each time. I know I'm called here. I know I'm called here. So I know when pastor said, we're going to go to the place on Black Lay Road, but it's going to be a fight. I'm with you, pastor. We're with you. Because we know we're called to come alongside, not just pastor, but the vision that he has for Faith City Church. That's why I get so excited about being here. Because I heard an inner voice that I wasn't supposed to come to Thunder Bay. I was supposed to come to Faith City Church. So if he would have been in Long Lac, I guess that's where I'd be, in Long Lac. Because I wasn't called to Thunder Bay. Theoretically, I was called to Faith City Church. I was come alongside to have to help the vision here. And it might be mopping the floor. It might be cleaning the sanctuary. It might be washing the pews or the chairs. It doesn't matter where you are, as long as you hear the voice of God. Amen? You know? So then, we also look at that part of being a process, because I don't want to lose all my points, is that, you know, if you're not sure and you're still learning, I like what it says, because it says in Romans, Paul says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience bearing witness with me in the Holy Spirit. So if you're still learning to hear the voice of God, then just go with your conscience. I know my conscience tells me not to steal. My conscience tells me to love my wife. My conscience tells me not to, you know, hit the neighbor because he don't like his dog or something. You know what I mean? There's things that if you're learning, your conscience will bear witness with the Holy Spirit. But then that grows as he speaks to your spirit. We were coming here, and I said, my wife, you try this when you go home sometimes because, you know, but just pray in tongues by yourself. Pray in tongues and just suddenly stop and listen to the inside and you'll hear your tongues carry on. It's because that's your spirit man speaking to you. So I love, I think it was Pastor mentioned last week before, but praying in tongues is part of stuff because it builds up your most holy faith. It edifies you. It builds you up. It will help you to hear the voice of God. Amen. And the last point is that being led takes patience. You know, as we grow, we will get more confident that we have heard his voice. My points kind of flowed together, you know, today. But it takes patience. But, you know, it's not patience like, I'm just going to sit on the couch and do nothing. You know, when we moved up here and I was believing for a job, I just didn't sit on the couch. Okay, Lord, thank you. You know, it's like, okay, Lord, where do I put a resume out? And it's okay if you think, you know, you got to find the balance where if God tells you to put up 5 resumes, put up 5 resumes. But if he only tells you, do you know for sure that you're supposed to go somewhere and put up 1 resume? Then put up 1 resume. But then, and then pray over that resume and go forth. We know that God looked after us. I knew where I was supposed to work, but until I got a call to come in for an interview, I didn't just sit on my couch. Say, Lord, you look after everything. We went forth and we did things that we're supposed to do. Took a couple of part-time jobs, did some stuff, because God will provide for you, amen? He will give you the ability or the talent to get wealth. What does that mean? You have to do something. When I came up here the first time, financially, I was okay. I had a, you know, I had some things because of work, some finances coming in. So I was like, okay, I'm going to still believe for a job. So what am I going to do? I'm going to sow. That's why I spent so much time at the church the first time I was here. I wasn't working. I was still getting paid for like a year and a half or more. And I was like, okay, I can look for a job. And so I would do a couple of things that I'd be at the church. What am I going to do? What do I need to do? I remember the first thing I ever got asked, I got a phone call. It was Pastor Glenn. He was here and he's helping pastor. I was like, yeah. Because, you know, when you hear something, it's not about just when God tells you to move. It wasn't just my job that we gave up. It wasn't just these things. It was also that we were in a leadership at our church there. So now it's like starting all over again. Come to a church, starting all over again. Because it can be not prestigious, but it can be nice when you know that your pastor relies on you. It can be nice that we were deacons at our church. People knew us. It was about the same size as here. It was like your flesh can be like, yeah, people knew who I am. And we were kind of excited. You know, they're going to miss us when we're gone. But it's humility, so I don't dwell on that. But, you know, but you give up. So it is. It's like moving to a new job. You got to start with friends all over again or starting school. So we came to church. You know, like I said, we were a lot smaller as a congregation back then. You get to know a few people. So I'm like, okay, pastor. I brought him a resume. I don't know if that's kind of weird or not, but I got a letter from my other pastor because he didn't know who I was. And I showed up and I said, Pastor Roman, here. He said, here. Gave him a letter from my old pastor about, you know, some things that were done. And it's kind of neat, you know, and it's like, so I get a call from Pastor Glenn. I was like, oh, maybe he wants me to, I don't know, maybe do a Wednesday service or something. Exciting. And Pastor Glenn's like, can you paint the floor? What? Paint the floor? Okay. So I painted the floor down in the basement, you know. And I know that, you know, 12 years later, Nathan and Pastor Steve had to paint the floor again. And it was a mess. Not because of the way I painted or what they did. It's just, it's a mess painting the floor when it gets all wet and everything's a mess. But anyway, don't have to do that again, eh? But it is patience because you have to wait sometimes for a word. Doesn't this an audible word, but God can speak to you. And some things will be quick, like go here, not go there. Yesterday, we're out. We were here. We did a couple of things. We were going home and just going home. And it doesn't, you know, it's not, let's say, thus saith the Lord, that's going to change your life. But my wife's been looking for like a wingback chair. She likes a wingback chair for the living room. And we were here and she's like, I said, does she want to hit Sally Ann on the way home? She's like, sure. We were looking for something else, some little knick-knack kind of things. We go in, so she's over there looking around, and I always go and look at the books and stuff like that. And I look over, and I said, hun, I said, you want to take a look at this chair? There's a wingback chair there. She's like, okay. So we bought the chair, threw it in the back of the truck, and we took it home. You know, people are like, oh, I tell you, I've given testimonies during offering because God has led us. If you want to go shopping at Christmas, pray about it. I'm telling you, we have got some fantastic deals being led. It's like I said, you learn these little things. If I don't know what toy to buy my kid and I miss it with God, it's not a big deal. But if I miss it because I think God now tells me tomorrow we're going to Winnipeg, that's a big thing to miss it on. Amen? Well, Vancouver or wherever, that's a big thing to miss it on. If you miss it on what's toy or you miss a sale, cost you a few bucks, who, you know, big deal, really. To be honest, but we learn and we have patience. That what he says, some things need to be quick. You going shopping? Like I said, so we went shopping one time. And we guys, you didn't guys have a Toys R Us at this time, but we did. And we were shopping. We saw this Lego thing, and it was like a NASCAR. My kid was in a NASCAR at the time, and it was like $10. That's awesome. So, you know, they're usually pretty expensive. I go to the front till, and the girl's like, "Oh, that's the wrong price. It's $39.99." I'm like, "Oh, okay. Well, I'll still get it." You know, she's like, "Oh no, we have to give it to you at $10 because that's our policy." I'm like, sweet, okay. So she scans it. Well, whatever was $10 is on sale for $2.99. She goes, well, now we have to give it to you at $2.99. I said, can I take 10? She's like, no, just have the one. But it's like, first year we're up here. My wife's son has a Raven guitar. It's like a 1973's guitar. It's got a different kind of sound. I don't know, as a musician, I don't play sports or guitar, so I, you know, but it's got this nice sound. My son loves it. He's always playing Paul's guitar, you know, when they were playing, when he was learning how to play and stuff like that. So I said, God, I'd love to be able to get a Raven for him for Christmas. You know, so we went to pawn shops. We were all in London. We were up here for Christmas. We were living in London. We were back in London at this time. So we went through, you know, London's a big city, bigger than Thunder Bay. All these pawn shops, nothing. We come here, and we went at one of the pawn shops. We're looking, I said, so all the guitars you got, eh? The guy goes, well, I got one in the back. So he brings out, it's in a Fender bag. So, well, Fender's pretty good. I'll buy a Fender. He opens it up, it's a Raven. And it's a different style. Paul's is a Les Paul style, and Josh, one we got, Josh, is an SG. I was like, well, I hope the shape's okay. And Josh goes, Dad, he goes, I like the SG style better. But it's got the same pickups, the same sound and everything. I was like, thank you, Jesus. David says, I praise him in all things. All things. If David had missed it, you know, like I said, there are times when he said, I'm going to go to battle. And don't you wish that we had, it's called the Urim and the Thummim. There are two stones on the ephod. Because you look at, David will say, bring the ephod to me. And it's the priestly cloak, and it's got stones on it and stuff. And I've heard that there's like two stones on it. One's a yes, basically, and one's a no. And I don't know if it glowed or they rang or they shook them or what they did. But one meant yes, one meant no, basically. To keep a simple story, David would say, bring me the ephod. And then he would come out and he'd say, okay, God, do I go to battle? Yes, okay, then you go to battle. Sometimes don't you wish it was that easy? But other than the fact that God speaks to us out of faith in our inward man. Because when he got, you're going to go to battle and you're going to do this, obviously that's not a yes or no answer. Obviously the prophet was speaking to him because the prophet spoke to him. So you know, one of the things about being led by the Spirit, because we are children of God and it's our prerogative to hear, we have patience that what he says to us, even on our inward man, is going to come to pass. But we have to learn how to hear his Spirit, is because sometimes we always think of being led as go down this road, go down this road, go down this road. But sometimes being led means he brings correction. Amen. Sometimes being led by God means you'll get a, my spirit bears witness with my conscience that I'm not supposed to do that. And that's sometimes where we miss it. We always think, because I used to think about being led by the Spirit always meant, all the big, exciting things. And like I say, sometimes it's the little things. Like, don't do that. There are times, you know, we're married. We're not perfect. We do have arguments. Not very often. Not very often. But there are times, you know, you always see that scripture, don't go to bed mad. It's like, man, I've been up all night for days. No, I'm only kidding. But there are times, you know, it's like we've been in bed, and we're kind of like cold shoulder towards each other like this. And then one of us, because it's not always me, you know, sometimes one of us will get, and I've had, like, I think the last time it was probably me, it was just like, just hug her. Don't say nothing. Keep your trap shut. Just hug her. And it was just a simple thing that I came over, and I just hugged her. And it's like it just broke between the two of us. And we started to chat and talk. Like I said, you're married. Nobody's perfect, you know. If I had dealt with all my flesh, I'd be in heaven. You know? But there are times, and it is, sometimes it's a little thing. Like, you know, one time she's there, and she's like, I think we should go see Mom. And sometimes it's like, okay, we'll go see Mom, no big deal. Other times, it could be the Spirit of God indwelling. Because somebody, your neighbor might be going through something, or your brother or sister might be going through something, and they might just need a word from God through you, because you might get a sense, I'm going to go talk to my neighbor. Doesn't mean you have to preach at them and say, God loves you. You know, sometimes it's just a matter of saying, I got a cup of tea, you know. Anything I can do for you. Sometimes hearing God speak, because his big thing about leading us is leading us into a destiny. And we all know that he is, that we are members of reconciliation to the world. Amen? It is up to us to preach the gospel to the world. That's up to us. So most of our leading will be the point that our life is good so that we can show him to others. Because I don't want somebody to come up to me and say, Jesus loves you, and their life is a terrible mess. Because that's really not bringing God glory. It's not bringing him honor. David's life, he had problems. We all have problems. But you read that, or even New Testament, Paul had some issues, but he never. Singing praises in the midnight hour. He's in jail. Silas, what's the next tune? I don't know. Let's sing Hillsong's okay. Jesus culture, okay. They're singing hymns. Giving him glory, locked in prison. And we have a hard time because My tire went flat. Lord, why didn't you tell me about my tire? You know, preach the gospel. Because when our life is good and we are led, then we will be led to talk to our neighbor. We will be led to minister to the guy at work. We'll be led. So a lady, if you're a gentleman, and a lady comes up to you and says, you want to go for a coffee? Follow your conscience. No. Now, if you're really having a hard time, how about me and my wife pick you up for coffee and we can chat? Would that be okay? And she says, to say goodbye. Because I have had that. I had a lady who was going through something. I said, would you be okay if my wife and me took you for coffee? She's like, yeah, that would be okay. So then you got to go home and say, honey, one of the girls at work's having a problem with whatever, and she wanted you to talk to her. Or me, but you're coming kind of thing. Because my wife is very important. Because my wife is my helpmeet. Amen? Adam didn't eat from the tree. God says, I'm going to give you helpmeet. So he hadn't ate from the tree. The tree was there. How long was the tree there before he made Eve? Ever thought about that? There's a tree. You can eat. It's good. I think you need helpmeet. You haven't eaten from the tree yet. So he made him helpmeet. You know? So if you need something, like I said, follow your conscience. If you feel I have to minister to somebody and you're the opposite sex, no. But then call somebody. Because you could, and that could be, like I said, sometimes being led is very simple, very easy. And it could be, you know what, I can't help you, but I know Ernie's been through that situation. So, because it's okay if we call Brother Ernie, he can help you. You know, that's why people will get put into it. It's all about relationships, amen? It's not about, well, let's phone the pastor all the time, see what he can do. It's, you know, he teaches us so that we can go forth and minister, amen? So when you're being led, I think it's so great because when I hear God and I know I've not missed God because of something, then I know that when he tells me to do something now, like go talk to the guy next door because, you know, he might have a problem. That doesn't mean, like I say, I have to show up there and, oh, hey, you know, it's just a matter of, hey, man, you want to, you know, go for a coffee or something like that? Sometimes it's that simple. Sometimes our leading is that simple, amen? Because he will lead you into all truth. He himself wants to lead you. And the reason he wants to lead you is because the only way he can talk to the unsaved guy is through you. Angels aren't here to minister the gospel yet. It's us. We are it. If not, the angel that spoke to Peter could have just as well went and spoke to Cornelius. But he didn't. He spoke to Peter. Peter had a vision, remember? Then the angel spoke to Cornelius, said, there's a man coming. The angel did speak to Cornelius, but he doesn't know the gospel because he doesn't understand it because he's never been saved. So we have to be saved so we know what he's been through. The angel said to Cornelius, a man's coming who's going to tell you something. Maybe that man is you. Peter didn't know. He had understanding going to go, not rules and regulations, never unclean, Lord has touched my lips. Nothing unclean has touched my lips. Sometimes God will have to speak to you with a vision. But just follow the inward. If I have a vision and it goes against the word of God, I'm going to detract from the vision. Nothing to do with the vision. Amen? If I have a prophecy and it's against the word of God, nope. Sorry, maybe you missed it. That's why, you know, we got to be careful on people. That's why I like it when, you know, I've had people here that ministered. And I like it because pastor's here. And, you know, he's our shepherd. Amen? I've heard pastor get up and bring correction for something that was said. This is years ago. Somebody said something. Pastor got up the next week and brought correction. It takes a lot of guts. Same thing in London. I've had it where pastor's gotten up and brought correction from them. Because he invited the guy to come and share. And if something's missed, pastor had to go up one week and bring correction. Like, say, years ago. He's like, well, you know, he said one thing and he brought correction. But what a man of God. What a man of God that he had to come up and say, here's what, you know, we don't do that stuff here or whatever. I think that takes strength to come up here because he's the one that invited somebody. Like me inviting somebody to my house and they do something and then I have to tell my wife, I'm sorry that, you know, I invited Bob over and he painted your cupboards red. I'm sorry, honey. Really? Because I invited Bob. He's your friend. You got to deal with him now kind of thing, you know. But, so remember, it's your prerogative. He wants to speak to us, amen. We are his children. We have the right to hear, per se. And it's a process. So you might, if you're a new believer and you haven't heard him, just keep hearing, keep into the word. The spirit and the word are one. They agree. If you hear an inward witness and it goes against this, follow this, amen? If you hear a prophetic word and it goes against this, like I said, in 2 Corinthians 12, 1 or 2, I think, or 1 Corinthians 12, 1 or 2, it says that we are not to be moved by mute or unsilent idols. We are to be moved by speaking and living God. Amen? The word will speak to you. Amen? And patience. patience will have its perfect work. You might hear a word, and it might not come to pass, but just keep listening, saying, Lord, you know, and he will. We don't do, you know, I think, and I know Pastor will agree, I'll just close with this. I think Pastor agrees with this. We don't necessarily do fleeces. It's an Old Testament. Gideon couldn't hear from God. He wasn't born again. I have. Sometimes God will answer them if you're a new believer and you have a hard time. You want a fleece? What does the word say? You know, if you're believing for a wife, like I said, it didn't tell me in here, Kathy, I'm going to marry Kathy, but it just say, who finds wife finds a good thing. And not to be unequally yoked. And to have a woman who honors God. So you go to Proverbs 31. Oh, yeah, she fits all these descriptions. You know, so that's, you know what I mean? Amen? God will speak to you, but it will never go against this. Okay? Everybody stand up for a second. Like Pastor Ken said, I'm just going to have a couple of confessions for us to say, and we'll close with that. Everybody keep Pastor in prayer. He's gone down to see the hockey game because he was pretty excited. Because somebody said, well, you went to saw the Canadians play, and I'm thinking, oh, I didn't know Montreal was playing in Toronto. Then I realized I think it was Team Canada or the Canadian team. I'm like, I don't watch hockey, sorry. Now, Father, we just thank you. I just want you to repeat after me. Say, I am a child of God. God wants to lead me. I want to hear. And I will not listen to anything against the word. I thank you, Father, that you will lead me yourself into all truth, into prosperity, into peace, into provision, into your perfect will. I thank you, Lord, that you will lead me into a destiny that will bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Be released. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.